Hello, people. You are fabulous. So hello, fabulous people. Welcome to the Get a Hand Up podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Remember, money is replaceable. Time is not. So tonight I am, or today, whenever you're listening, I am going to make yours very worthwhile. It's a very special podcast. So naturally, I've got a very special guest with me in the studio tonight. The very impatient, the very vain but intelligent. Go ahead.
I'm trying to make this quick because they already burned down Philadelphia after the Super Bowl, and I want to beat the fires.
Oh, gosh, I knew he was going to go there.
Mm-hmm. Raider Nation here. Raider Nation all day.
Silver and black. Okay. Who are you today?
I am Jack Tripper. I live in Santa Monica, California, with a brunette and a blonde.
Oh, boy. All right, Jack. Can we move on?
Wait. My applause.
Okay, so, thank you for being here, Mr. Tripper, Jack.
We're doing this podcast from the Rico Beagle.
So, first, I'm going to do something a little unusual. There's something I need your feedback on, honestly. I have a question. I want your opinion. I want your input. I am seriously thinking, after many years, of downgrading my LinkedIn Premium account, going back to basic. Reason is, it seems like not only are, over a long period of time, have they been going more toward being a social network, as opposed to professional. But I also, you know, I'm noticing that 4 out of 5 connection requests have some sort of sales pitch. The fifth is usually has some sort of dating proposal or romantic interest. But it's just, you know, it used to be the world's largest social media network, but people didn't know it because it was a professional network. And now it's gotten to the point where you can actually add filters to your profile pic. And I'm just feeling that that value isn't there. So I want your opinion. Should I go back to a LinkedIn basic account?
Let me touch on this for a second. You know, for those that are listening to the podcast, you know, at one time or another in our careers, some of us worked at temp agencies or we worked at offices where there's business casual. LinkedIn, in my opinion, Camille, I'll be honest with you, is becoming more of that business casual social site versus just being business where you know, kind of reach out and link with like-minded people. Now it's kind of becoming that business casual Facebook where, hey, I work in the auto dealership. You work in an auto dealership. Let's go to Tinder and, you know, do something. Or something where it's not business anymore. That's what I feel.
Let me tell you why I respectfully disagree. You know, I field my own connection requests, and all the time I get these connection requests where before I even have a chance to accept or ignore, there's a 2-paragraph sales pitch telling me about the marketing services that they provide. They obviously haven't done their homework, because if they had, they would know that those are some of the same services that I provide. But I get all sorts of pitches and the occasional, you know, I'm sorry to contact you via LinkedIn, but I was wondering if we might get to know each other more personally. And I've been in many, many business casual environments, and I can't in my mind imagine a time where someone would just come up to me blatantly out of the blue and try to sell me something.
See, you're lucky. I don't even get family that look at my LinkedIn profile. So, you know, but, you know, Facebook, Twitter, social media land, you know, podcast people, let us know what you think. Should Camille downgrade? You know, do you feel that the service is helping you? If it's not helping you, do you even use the service? Are even some of you even aware what the service is?
Have you had the same experiences?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
So, before you even start, Super Bowl, did you see the Alexa Super Bowl commercial? I know you and I were talking about this before the podcast, but I'm dying to know what your feedback is on this.
You know, I have a very bittersweet relationship with Amazon.
Sounds like your dating life.
Is it funny? You know, I always say that if you can no longer put yourself in the perspective of your target audience, you will never again be a great marketer. With Amazon, there's two Camilles. As a Prime member for years now, I love the product selection. I love the fast, free delivery. At the same time, I have so many missing packages, packages that are left at the wrong location, so they end up being stolen. We just bought two Amazon warehouse deals. One was a rather high-end computer part, completely dead on arrival. The other was a collectible limited edition compact disc of Moby because he is fabulous. And it was completely broken, busted up and everything. But as a marketer, you know, we all know that the Super Bowl is like the Oscars of advertising. It's 5 million for 30 seconds. As of 2018. And a lot of people, even statistically, a lot of people watch the Super Bowl for the ads because they're that great. Now, Amazon, again, knocked it out of the park. And I think that they get the Oscar for Super Bowl ad this year again. You probably saw the commercials leading up to the Super Bowl about Alexa losing her voice. And they had, it was Gordon Ramsay.
It was Anthony Hopkins, yes. Gordon Ramsay, Cardi B. The funny girl from the Pitch Perfect series, Reba. Oh, God, I can't remember her name right now.
I know who you're talking about.
She was in the tub and she did the sexy voice thing. It was hilarious.
Yes, and it's hot in that bush. And it was absolutely hilarious. But they took it to a whole new level when Alexa actually did lose her voice at the exact moment that the commercial aired.
And for everyone right now, if you're listening on your speakers, if we're trolling your digital app,
sorry,
we apologize.
About that. Sorry. It's kind of inevitable, but it was absolutely brilliant. And it didn't stop there because last night I was actually about to fall asleep. And this is when you know you're a true marketing geek. I couldn't help but ask again, "Hey, Alexa, did you lose your voice?" And she said, "Yeah, I did for a while. I think I had a bug, but it seems to be out of my system for now." So that makes me think that not only was this promotional for Alexa and for Amazon services, but this also could have been tied into a new launch of product features, you know, having different voices for your Dot or your Echo or, pardon me, frog in my throat, but
just like Alexa.
Exactly. Timing is everything. But so they, in my opinion, won the Oscar of Super Bowl advertising and,
Which I agree with it. I mean, there were so many great ads, but, you know, this year's Super Bowl was kind of a mixed focus. Ever since the president election in 2016, you know, our society, let's just be honest, let's address the elephant in the room, even though it's wearing a tutu. We've become a very bipolar market, to say. either we're in love with a product or we hate the product. And there hasn't been much gray anymore ever since social media came out. So it's interesting to see a lot of advertisers either play it very risky or play it very safe with their, you know, with their commercials. Plus, yeah. You know, just spending 30 seconds for, you know, $5 million on 30 seconds, you really gotta be careful of what you want to message, you want to relay to your customer base.
Well, you also, and this is why this podcast is happening right now, because what this is really about is multi-channel marketing. It's about agile marketing. It's about cross-platform marketing. You know, the fact that here's an example of agile marketing, agile strategy. Beats by Dre, last year, 2017 Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
They either needed or wanted, you know, to beef up their Super Bowl ad presence, but it was last minute. It was literally only about 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, maybe 2.5, 3 weeks at most. They did not yet have time to know that Tom Brady was going to be playing in the Super Bowl, and it was certainly too late to put an ad, you know, a Super Bowl TV ad. So what they did was they made a very simple but very powerful campaign featuring Tom Brady at the last minute, and they aired the heck out of it on YouTube and social media, and it actually got almost 1 million views, which is half of the entire Super Bowl viewing audience. And unlike most videos, which get maybe 5% video view duration, it had an average view duration of 97%. And they threw that together last minute and on other platforms than that which the Super Bowl is shown.
And it's funny, when you bring up the Beats by Dre, I remember a couple of years back, when the 49ers were in the Super Bowl against the Baltimore Ravens, and they ran a ad where Colin Kaepernick was tuning out, you know, the opposing team's fans.
I loved that ad.
And I mean, whether you love or hate the guy, you know, I personally met him, and I think he's a great person. You know, politically aside, you know, on this podcast, it was a great ad. And I'm not a 49er fan, as people know. I'm a part of the Raider Nation, but I actually respected that ad. And then the following year, they did Richard Sherman, the cornerback for the Seattle Seahawks,
right. Mm-hmm.
Where they did a Beats by Dre thing. And they get a lot of great engagement because these marketers understand where their fan base is. So
yeah.
for the NFL Super Bowl, they're targeting key players, you know, and that's one of the big strategies that you and I were talking about the other day, is knowing when to target your right fan base of your product at the right time. And the Super Bowl, that's what happened.
I hate to digress for a moment, and I know you hate it when I do this, but I've had to talk so many times with clients about how it is really like a ballet marketing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the life cycle of product awareness, product adoption, product exposure, wash, rinse, repeat. But you also have the customer life cycle of, you know, awareness, discovery, interest, exploration, and then finally adoption. Now, you need to get both of those cycles perfectly in sync. And so all of the companies, all of the brands who win what I'm calling, you know, the Oscars of advertising, which is the Super Bowl, they're all companies that got these right.
Another company, you know, while we're talking about, mm-hmm. this is Budweiser for Bud Light.
Oh.
Remember the frogs?
Dilly,
you know?
Dilly.
Yeah, Dilly Dilly. Remember how I was saying that throughout the whole last couple of weeks?
Right.
And if you're Camille, you can understand why she drinks and smokes, because she has to work with me here in the office. But
I don't. I've had... what, one drink in 2 years?
Yeah. But
I have a weak stomach.
So, but
I hate to admit it, but no.
You know, but like with the Budweiser commercials, like they did the Budweiser with the three frogs about 20 right. years ago,
and that was very a hit.
And then the four guys on the phone going, "What's
that?" Oh yeah. Gosh, that became
an overnight sensation.
It wasn't just an advertising thing; that became like a cult following.
But for even non-alcoholic drinkers, I want you to think about the strategy,
yeah.
because those became pop culture catchphrases. People remember those commercials, even though they don't drink alcohol. And for people like at Budweiser, they're like, hey, it's a win-win. For Budweiser fans, we won people because we did something that they could relate to. And for non-fans, we got them talking about our product because of the commercial we did.
So let me touch on 2 points about this. Number one, the timing of it. Because they built up ahead of time to the ad on the Super Bowl, and they did it cross-platform, by the time the so-called main ad came out, people had already been entertained and started saying dilly dilly weeks ago. I remember just a few days back, we had a day where all day in the office, everything was with dilly dilly, and I have to tell you, it was a fun day. It was
yes.
hilarious. But then, of course, we saw the main ad on the Super Bowl. But the other point is that, just like Mike said, I'm sorry, Jack Tripper.
Thank you.
Just as Jack says, you know, I don't, even when my stomach could handle its alcohol, I was not a beer drinker. But I'm saying dilly dilly left and right, and I'm going to remember that brand. Because it was that catchy. And you have to remember that during the Super Bowl, it's a very special time when people are using more platforms simultaneously than ever.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
You know, you really have to take advantage of it, and you have to tap into the increased attention span, because especially in the world of marketing, attention span is something that we have the least than ever before.
So here's an interesting statistic. For this past Sunday Super Bowl between the Philadelphia Eagles and the New England Patriots, there was an average of 91% of people using multiple devices during the Super Bowl, such as a tablet, a smartphone, as well as communicating during the Super Bowl on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, sharing video usage. Yeah, here's another interesting statistic. 97% higher this past year than it has been in the past 4 years during the Super Bowl of user-generated content. From people getting happy, upset, 97%. Keep that in mind. 97%.
Yeah. And believe it or not, here's my main point, is that that's not so far off from normal statistics. People over 90% of the time are using more than one device at a time. Over 90% of people have a mobile device in their hand while they're watching TV. So if you have not yet adopted a cross-platform strategy, especially if you're a medium or large brand, then you're way behind. Yeah, I'm sorry if that comes off as blunt and honest, but that is what I am, is blunt and honest. Cross-platform for a very long time now has been absolutely critical to a marketing strategy, but only during times like the Super Bowl do we see it so highlighted. And that's why it's important to learn these things from the Super Bowl so you can take them throughout the rest of the year and infuse these into your strategy.
Yeah, what was that other Super Bowl ad? I think I saw it online. It was the guy from that show, Silicon Valley, T.J. Miller.
Shock Top.
Yes.
They were a first-time Super Bowl advertiser in 2016, and believe it or not, their ads were largely ad-libbed, and because of that, they were some of the funniest They were very on brand. People who had never even heard of Shock Top now were going out to find out what the Shock Top tastes like. It's a beer, perfect.
But at the same time, with Budweiser and Matt Damon running the water.
Oh, yes.
That was bringing a lot of awareness. And they did it at the right time where there was the heaviest usage of viewership, which was the Super Bowl.
If I could, let me bring that up as another point. Matt Damon's ad for the Stella Artois Chalice, where if only 1% of Super Bowl viewers went out and bought a Stella Artois Chalice, they could give clean water to 1 million people for 5 years. Now, if you don't know how important that is, over twice the population of the U.S. does in the world. Over twice the population of the U.S. does not have access to clean drinking water. Disease rates, fatality rates through the roof. So that's great that Matt Damon is doing this. But getting back to my point about how there's so much more attention during the Super Bowl, there are different types of ads. Just like any other time, there are different types of content. Some of the ads were funny. Some of them really tugged on your heartstrings. The Stella Artois ad with Matt Damon, it was simple, it was strong, it was straightforward, and it was heartfelt. It was very sincere. This is why we have different types of content in any good marketing strategy. And the Super Bowl is no different, because all of these different types of ads knocked it out of the park. Jack Tripper,
it's funny. I'm chomping at the bit at this. I actually
how
went
much
to.
Is it? I need to
$13
know.
Just for a glass.
That's it.
Yes.
$13.
What most people would spend at a bar or even going to brunch with a friend, you could. I don't want to make this into a Matt Damon podcast, but granted, I loved him in the Bourne series, but this is something that's very interesting. Using the Super Bowl as a delivery method to bring awareness.
Yeah.
Spending $5 million and saying, okay, I'm going to, rather than try to sell my brand to make a profit, I'm going to bring awareness to something by getting people engaged.
Exactly.
And Amazon is running with this. This is an Amazon choice. And, this is something I may, right after the podcast, may go and buy all three glasses just to have it and help support a cause.
That would be 3 million people for 5 years that have clean water. That's amazing.
Yeah.
But, again, back to the point, cross-platform, agile. Not everyone has $5 million for a 30-second spot, and that's where you really need to get strategic. You really need to get creative. It's not about one day. It's about the build-up. And then it's also about the after. Mike, I'm sorry, Mr. Tripper.
Thank you.
Mr. Jack Tripper. You mentioned the Shock Top ad. Well, they actually continued their digital spots. The Super Bowl was over. After the Super Bowl, they continued to do digital commercials where Wedgehead, the mascot of Shock Top, and TJ Miller actually sat and reviewed all of the Super Bowl commercials together. And that was also all ad-libbed and hilarious. And that was engaging because not only was the ad itself hilarious, it was reviewing Super Bowl commercials, which people love. So it was like a double whammy,
in terms
of engagement.
And, again, social engagement is the best engagement. So let me ask this question, Camille. We all know that you're a brilliant marketer. I'll be the first to say that.
Thank you.
If you had to do a quick fire in 90 seconds, what are the three bits of advice would you give a business to take advantage of marketing on a non-$5 million budget, locally or nationally? So in other words, if I'm a CEO of a company and the Super Bowl just ended and I want to ride off the wave of the Super Bowl, what three marketing tips would you give to a company, large or small, of how to better their brand awareness after the Super Bowl?
Okay, number one, marketing agility. And I think that that doesn't get enough attention because people don't really get the phrase agile marketing. It means being able to turn on a dime. It means that if you find out something important before lunch, that afternoon you've got an impromptu meeting with your marketing team or your marketer about how you can use that information, like that Tom Brady ad that was done at the last minute, and understand that you need to be able to turn on a dime and implement something creative and new. And that leads me to point number two, go cross-platform. Use social media. Use it like, I don't know.
Going out of style?
Yeah. Use it like it's, you know, partying like 1999, because you need to get it so that, I mean, we all know that people need to see an ad several times, often up to 9 times before they'll convert. So you don't need necessarily 5 million for 30 seconds on the Super Bowl. What you need is repetition, brand awareness, creativity, whether it's humorous, whether it's escapist, whether it's charitable, all the different types of content we use. But go, literally go into the end zone with it. Yeah, pun intended, very much so. Go all the way with your creativity and don't hold back, because that's how you're going to get people. I mean, you mentioned that Colin Kaepernick ad.
Mm-hmm.
I still remember the song from that ad. That was a couple years ago, but that song, for some reason, stuck in my head. At the time, I didn't even know who the guy was, but the ad just caught me. Let's see, if I were to say a third point, I mean, was that 3 points?
No,
or
one more point.
One more point. Multi-channel marketing, agile marketing, cross-platform, those are my three things, really. And I think that the most important thing is that it doesn't have to be the Super Bowl. You know, a lot of times for my clients, I'll put together calendars of either random holidays, weird holidays, or just awareness, you know, times where it's such and such cancer day, or it's random acts of kindness day is coming up. Do something for random acts of kindness. Don't tell me that there's no way you can work your brand into random act of kindness day. And you can do it on Facebook, you can do it on YouTube, you can do it on a streaming channel. There are more platforms than ever at your disposal. Use them. And also, here's another point. Use your analytics, use your results to understand and make your next campaign even better. When you do a marketing initiative or an advertising campaign at any time, you are wasting your money if you don't take the information that you learn from it and make it so that your next initiative is even stronger with a higher ROI. There you go.
Thank you. So what we're going to do is this. We're going to bring the podcast to a close. I'm going to encourage everyone that listens to this podcast, use the hashtag AskCamille. Let us know what was your most favorite and least favorite ad in the Super Bowl, whether past or this past, you know, this past Sunday or in the past 20 years. You know, what was your most favorite ad that you still remember, or what was one of those ads that really turned you off on that brand?
What's the oldest ad that you remember because it was just that good?
Yes. So, again, we encourage you guys to reach out to Camille on social media. Use the hashtag AskCamille. She's on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, depending on what happens in the next couple of days.
It always comes out sounding wrong, but I'm very easy to find.
She is. She is from the Philadelphia area, guys.
Just Google Camille Forte. You will find my social media platforms. And don't forget to tell me, should I go back to a LinkedIn basic account? I'm so torn.
Yeah. So hit us up, guys. For myself, me being Jack Tripper and Camille, we thank you so much for tuning in to this week's podcast. And let us, flood us with questions and let us know.
Thank you, everybody.
Take care.
Be in touch and stay tuned for next time.